storm later today into tomorrow. America's listening to Fox News.
The CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast: freezing rain, snow, sleet, and rain today. Highs middle 30s. Ice accumulations up to a quarter inch. Snow totals up to 2 inches in central Virginia, up to 6 inches in the mountains and Shenandoah Valley. Gradual clearing, lows around 30 tonight. Partly sunny and breezy on Sunday with highs in the upper 40s. I'm CBS 19 Chief Meteorologist Travis Koshko for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
The views expressed here reflect the views of Joel Marks, CLU-CHFC, financial advisor, and his guests appearing on the program as of the date of the program and may change as market or other conditions change. Actual investments or investment decisions made by Ameriprise Financial and its affiliates will not necessarily reflect the views expressed on this program. This program will provide only general information, is not intended to provide investment advice, and does not account for individual investor circumstances. Investment decisions should always be made based on an investor's specific financial needs, objectives, goals, time horizon, and risk tolerance. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and no forecast should be considered a guarantee. Investment products, including mutual fund shares, are not insured or guaranteed by any financial institution and involve investment risks, including fluctuations in value and loss of principal. Investment products are not insured by the FDIC, NCUA, or any federal agency, are not deposits or obligations of or guaranteed by any financial institution, and involve investment risks, including possible loss of principal and fluctuation in value. Ameriprise Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Consult your tax advisor or attorney. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. Virginia Credit Union is a registered representative of Ameriprise Financial. Representatives are registered securities sold advisory services offered through Ameriprise Financial, which is not an affiliate of Virginia Credit Union, Inc. Ameriprise Financial is under contract with the financial institution to make securities available to members. Not NCUA, NCUSIF, FDIC insured. May lose value. No financial institution guarantee. Not a deposit of any financial institution.
Good morning. I'm Joel Marks, CLU, CHFC, Finance, and your host here on Money Success, Seaville 107.5, WCHV 1260, here in the Charlottesville vicinity. It's great to be with you the first Saturday of the new year, 2024. Wow. I hope you had a great holiday season, safe, healthy, created some great memories with family. And we're off to a new year, and I hope this new year is better than the last. Although the market ended up on an upscale, it did well. In fact, the S&P hit a new high as we were going through the end of the year, and it was dismal in the beginning, but ended up well. And I guess that kind of falls into what I've been saying over the past: have a plan, work your plan, stay in the market. Don't work on emotion. I know of people that have pulled out and they missed all of the gain from last year. And you keep telling them you got to get in and just don't watch it. Let your advisor take care of you. But meet with your advisor at least on a quarterly basis. And if that's not a New Year's resolution for you, it should be. If you don't have an advisor, I recommend that you get one. That you trust and have confidence in, that can help guide you through the financial weeds of financial success and financial peace of mind. I want to remind you, I am located at your Virginia Credit Union in Seminole Court. You do not have to be a member to meet with me. You can contact me at 540-785-4315 or go to WCHV.com and click on Money Success. It'll take you to my website. And we're getting that updated as we're speaking, and have some more information on there for you. But it has my email address as well as my phone number, and you can contact me from there. I enjoy meeting with the listening audience, those of you that have called in and asked for meetings or to talk with me, and I look forward to more of that this coming year. And as we're approaching the year, I had a request from somebody, so in reference to the SECURE Act that we had originally in 2019, and then it was updated again last year, where we had SECURE Act 2.0. And they said, Joel, could you just go through that for us, knowing what some of the changes are and the updates and how they affect us? So that's what I want to do with you today. And by the way, the SECURE Act, what it means, and I went around when I first heard it, says, so what is this acronym? And it came out to be setting every community up for retirement enhancement. Now, I got to be honest with you folks. You've been listening to me for a while, or if you're a new listener, I'm just trying to figure out who gets paid to come up with these titles and these acronyms. They got to get big bucks to come up and figure this out. But it's the SECURE Act is setting every community up for retirement enhancement, whatever that means. And again, it was passed originally in 2019. The result was significant changes in the retirement system. And that really goes back to, 1974. Probably before many of the listeners are to the program, but then we had Employee Retirement Income Security Act, 1974, and that totally redid the entire pension industry as far as for employers, and it had to do with plans that, especially your defined benefit plans, it was significant. Unfunded liabilities that are still there today that are supposed to have been gone based on the original act. And you see that in a lot of union plans, and they're probably the only ones you're going to find with a defined benefit today, because they can go back to the union members and say, here's the benefit we're getting you. Most employers got out of the defined benefit plans because the administrative costs were prohibitive. Actuarial reevaluations on an annual basis and reporting and so forth, it just became prohibitive. Most of them got out of that. They eventually, you had our other programs, money purchase plans and profit sharing and so forth, and eventually came the 401k, and that had to do with a period of time when we had high inflation under President Carter and high interest rates, and there were some lawsuits that took place against employers. They were handling the funds and investing them for the employees. And the there were lawsuits saying, well, you should have made money and you lost money. My account lost money when I retired. So the employer had responsibility, fiduciary responsibility for the handling of the funds. They said, well, that's enough of that. 401k came about, and that fiduciary responsibility fell back on the employee and their monies. And those of you that have been in 401k plans know that you have to determine where the money's going. You're responsible for that. The employer is responsible basically for their funds. But that responsibility for investment return was passed on with the 401ks to the employee. So that's kind of the history of the industry to some extent. As we came up to the SECURE Act of 2.0, in 2023, which was designed to further enhance retirement savings opportunities for Americans. And it's important for you to understand how this may affect you. So we're going to, just kind of a quick review of what some of these aspects are. But first, I want to cover some of the increase in required minimum distributions. With the SECURE Act 2.0, minimum distributions, remember, if you have an IRA contract, a program, you must, or you're retired and have an old 401k that's still at an employer that you didn't remove and consolidate into an IRA, that under the current law, under SECURE 2.0, requires a minimum distribution age. It was increased to 73 beginning in 2023. Prior to that, it was 72 after 2022. And 2033, that required minimum distribution age is going to be moved to age 75. Now, if you want to ask me, how did they come up with 2033? I'm clueless. And my guess is so were they. It could have been a dartboard. It could have been a roll of the dice. If I sound facetious, I have no. It is what it is, folks. My guess is, from a political standpoint, that 2033 will probably be brought closer, that you'll see age 75 come closer. It'll be a political decision. I think they're just setting it up. That's my personal opinion on something like that. So if you're in that group that you've delayed your required minimum distribution, taking any money out, remember, age 73. Now, if you have an annuity contract, those insurance companies tend to, or they do, they send you a notice. It'll be coming out probably between now and the end of February, letting you know that if you're going to be 73 in 2024, that your required minimum distribution, they're going to let you know what it is. If you have a brokerage account, talk to your advisor, talk to your brokerage. They will have the number. They do not necessarily send letters out in reference to brokerage accounts. But your advisor will get a notification in reference to that. Now, if you are 73, let's say the end of the year, you can defer your withdrawal to 2025. But then in 2025, you're going to have a double withdrawal, that for your age 73 plus your 74. So you're going to be doubling that on. You got to take a look at that for tax purposes. So do some tax planning, talk to your accountant, talk to your advisor, and decide what's the best way for you to go. And for many of my clients, and many that I know, they just leave their money in their account and they wait for the required minimum distribution. And that's deferring a lot of money into some pre-tax places over the years, meaning you're going to have to pay some major taxes when you're going to start withdrawing these funds. So do some planning on whether you're going to be waiting till age 73 or you're going to start taking them out earlier. We also have a consideration for some tax-free aspects, positions that you can take in your later in your retirement that may be more efficient for your heirs if you're looking at legacy planning. Maybe to pay taxes now and make it a tax-free distribution later. How do you do that? You can take the funds that you have in your 401k IRA plans and roll it into an Roth IRA. Now you're going to pay taxes now, but it will then accumulate and the money will come out income tax free down the road. What you have to decide is that going to be beneficial? If you were in your 30s, 40s, or 50s and you're talking, Joel, should I look at it before or after taxes, and the tax bracket may or may not necessarily be a consideration, but the difference is the money coming out at the end income tax free may be a significant consideration. Remember, a Roth IRA allows you to pass money on to your heirs tax-free. And down markets can be an optimal time for that Roth conversion to take place. We had that, but you still got to take a look at your tax situation. And I've had people where we do it over a period of time. It's not a slash-and-burn type of thing. It's where you selectively move a portion over a period of time, a number of years, so that we don't go into a higher tax bracket because we don't want to give Uncle Sam any more than we have to. So make sure you consider your current tax bracket, and that will help determine the funds that you can convert over to your Roth IRA. And also, the other thing, take into account maybe your beneficiaries' tax brackets, because we're saying, I've got clients, very successful children, and if you give them taxable funds and there are requirements on how they have to take them out once they inherit it, receiving an IRA may not be the beneficial way for that to happen, and significant taxes could be paid on that. And so keep that in mind. Important considerations regarding age increases for required minimum distribution. One of the things to consider also in that is qualified charitable distributions. If you regularly give to charities or to your church or synagogue or mosque or whatever it might be that you contribute, instead of running the funds through your tax return and paying taxes on them, you can do qualified charitable distributions. This is where you have the funds paid from your IRA directly to the charity. Now, I have some clients that like to deliver the checks. They put them in cards, make notes, or whatever. That's not a problem, but the checks are made out to the charity. You can get them, you can deliver them any way that you want, or they can be sent directly to the charity under your name by the insurance companies or the brokerage house, however it's being done. By the way, I'm Joel Marks, financial advisor, your host here on Money Success here on CBO 107.5 and WCHV 1260. Remember, you can contact me at 540-785-4315. Or go to WCHV.com, take you to Money Success, the webpage, and my email and phone number is there. Remember, you do not have to be a member of the Virginia Credit Union, where I'm located, here in Seminole Court, to meet with me or talk with me, and many of my clients are not. We've been talking about Secure Act 2.0 today, trying to bring some things to light that are taking place, some tax ideas for you from that can be appropriate for you. And we've been talking about required minimum distribution now at age 73, but recently just talking about the qualified charitable distributions from IRAs the required age for qualified distributions is still 70 and a half, so you can start early. You don't have to wait till 73. And actually, you can contribute up to $100,000 as a qualified charitable distribution. That's starting this year in 2024. And this is going to be indexed for inflation going forward. One-time gifts of $50,000 through a charitable trust or gift annuity will also be allowed. And both of those changes will allow taxpayers to give even more from their IRAs directly to charity. So one of the things that happened to you and me under the change in the tax laws with the increase in the personal exemption is for many of us, the charitable deduction was lost because it's included in the personal exemption. However, by doing a direct contribution from your IRA, a charitable distribution, you are getting the benefit of giving the money away and not paying taxes on it. Again, it's a great way to do this. I have many of my clients who give regularly, again, to religious organizations and charitable organizations, whatever they may be, and it's paid directly to the charity. They don't write the check out, and they don't end up paying taxes on their IRA distributions. Both of the changes for the charitable distribution, for the maximum and so forth, allow the taxpayers to give in more of their money to charities, where you would have paid taxes on it and given a net. Now they're going to get a gross. So that is an important consideration. Again, if you are itemizing your deductions, you don't receive a deduction for charitable contributions. And with a qualified charitable distribution, you don't have to itemize to receive the deduction. It comes off your 1040 and reduces your gross adjusted gross income. So the qualified charitable distribution also has a positive impact on Social Security taxes, Medicare Part B premiums, and a 3.8% net investment income surtax for some taxpayers because they are based on the adjusted gross income. Remember, your Medicare Part B is based on your income. If we don't show your IRA because you're doing the charitable distribution, that brings that income picture down. Good point to think about. You know, number of things. So you can save some money on your the cost of your Part B, as well as paying any taxes on the distribution. Understand, though, you cannot take a qualified charitable distribution from a 401k plan, only an IRA. So if you want to do this and your monies are sitting back at a 401k from an old employer, you got to keep this in mind. You've got to roll it over to an IRA. And why you would leave it with an old employer, I'm not sure. There are some reasons to do that. I'm not sure why you'd want to do it, though. Take control of your money. Give yourself more vistas of where you can diversify and design a plan specifically for you. We'll get into some other things as we go on here. One of the other things that the SECURE Act did, it repeals the age limitations on traditional IRAs. That was in SECURE Act 1.0. Prior to the passage of the SECURE Act in 2019, you could not, as an individual, make traditional IRA contributions in the year that you turned 70 and a half or later. Under the SECURE Act, if you're still working and you have earned income, or your spouse, you can continue to make deposits into your IRA plans. Prior to that, again, you could not once you reach 70 and a half. Now, understand, you still may have a required minimum distribution. So you could be putting money into an IRA plan because you continue to work or continue to have earned income and at the same time have a required minimum distribution. In some ways, it might be a wash, but if you're making a charitable distribution and you're contributing to it, you got some good things going for yourself. You're not paying taxes on the distribution. I have some clients where part of their money is a charitable distribution, part they're receiving. What can this mean to you? Remember, the SECURE Act does not impact individuals' ability to contribute to a Roth, which may be better choice for many of you listening. Let's look at some options to determine if the repeal of age limitations on a traditional IRA has an impact on your financial plan. It may make sense to you that and your family as you plan your finances. Again, remember that while you may make contributions to a traditional IRA and a Roth, you still may be subject to that required minimum distribution. This is where the planning comes in. And sitting down and working it out. You know, a lot of my clients, you know, they come in and we're meeting and we're talking about different aspects of their finances, and these are things that are missed. And they're missed by the accountant also. But this is where your advisor comes in if you have one. If you don't, that could be the New Year's resolution for 2024. But all the rules still apply for making contributions, must have earned income. Deductibility rules apply if you have a retirement plan at work. There are income limits for Roth IRA contributions. You need to be able to look those up. You need to be mindful if you're already taking a qualified charitable distribution, any deductible IRA contributions that you make in the year you turn 73 or later will reduce the amount of your qualified charitable distribution. So remember that. For example, if you make a $2,000 in a deductible IRA contribution, your qualified charitable distribution amount is reduced by $2,000. So you got to balance it out to make sure that what you're putting in and what you're taking out is to your benefit. Now, there is the possibility that the changes enacted by the SECURE Act present an opportunity for consolidating your existing retirement accounts. Why should you consider a consolidation? Which is a good question, and you've heard me talk about that, but there are several potential benefits that you may or may not have thought about. First, you have all your accounts in one convenient location. They're in one place. When you put a plan together, The quantified results are based on what your goals are, where you are, where you're looking to go. You have an advisor who can see your full financial picture at once. And when you see all those assets together, it makes it easier to put decisions together. I've worked with people, they've got multiple advisors, and I don't know where the other advisors are going. And sometimes I've looked at them and I've asked questions like, how did they balance the stock account? The stock account is a stock account. Rebalancing doesn't only creates buy and sells for the advantage of the person who's doing it. So there are reasons that, you know, you've got to take a look at what they are. You also have increased investment control because you have the right mix of stocks, bonds, and other securities that will help meet your investment goals. Consolidating your retirement accounts can give you a clearer vision also of your assets and how they're allocated. And that's important to know. How are your assets allocated? Many times, most of the people that come in, they don't understand how they're allocated. And we start asking questions and taking a look and doing a deep dive. And that's another reason that you should meet with an advisor on a quarterly basis so they can go through all of this with you and you're understanding what's taking place. And, you know, just an example, your 401k plans, on an average, they may have maybe 20 investment options for a participant to consider. But your IRA can offer you a lot more options. It's an open architecture type of situation where we can automatically move your assets around, pick specific assets for your situation, automatic rebalancing your assets to keep it in the picture that we want, and help you have your goals of diversification in a much better position and mitigate risk and potentially reduce taxes on your portfolio. So there's some good reasons for doing this. And the other thing is, when you have to make withdrawals, it makes it a lot easier to get it from one account than four accounts or three different locations, whatever it might be when it comes to control. Because you want to make sure that you withdraw these funds, these distributions, on a timely basis. Because if you mess up, now they did do this under the law, they reduced the assessment. The IRS can assess you up to 25% on the amount that you should have taken out. Now, that's nice. It used to be 50%. So if you missed your distribution, they could, in essence, charge you the taxes you would have paid plus 50% of what you should have taken out. And these are non-tax deductible. So you want to make sure you take it out on time. And if you miss it, by the way, there is a form that you can fill out. And we have seen, especially in this COVID and post-COVID era, where reasons for not getting it out in the calendar year that you should, and you do get it out in the first month or so in the following year, the IRS is waiving the penalty. And I have a number of clients that we've had that filled out the documentation. We sent in with the tax return. In some cases, they paid the penalty and it was refunded. In others, they didn't pay the penalty and waited to see if they got the letter, and it was waived. And lastly, it makes it smoother for your beneficiaries to go to one place and be able to settle the legacy that you've left for them upon your passing than having to go to multiple places and try and figure out where they are. I'm Joel Marks. I'm your financial advisor, your host here on Money Success here on CBO 107.5 and WCHV 1260. I want to remind you, you can contact me at 540-785-4315 or go to WCHV.com, click on Money Success, and from there, it will take you to my webpage. You'll see my phone number, my email address. You can contact me from there. Again, I'm located at your Virginia Credit Union Seminole Court, and you do not have to be a member to meet with me. I'm looking forward to 2024. I believe it's going to be a better year than we had last year. There's some good things out there. We'll be talking about some concerns that we have and some things that we think will be affecting whether the year goes well or not, being an election year. And next week, I will also finish up on the Secure Act 2.0 and some of the changes. And remember, that's the secret.
Voted one of Virginia's top newscasts now.
Take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
On Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
From the WCHV and CBS 19 newsrooms, this is local news first.
Stormwatch on WCHV brought to you by Automated Office Systems, Simple Systems and Solutions. Orange County libraries will be closed today. Jefferson Madison Regional Libraries will open their libraries at 1. Loaves and Fishes Food Pantry, no food.